I was asked today to give a talk about how to be a kick-ass public speaker. And I think it's incredibly important that we're all, when we're talking about here, about Many Voices, One Mozilla, that all of you should feel empowered to speak for Mozilla and be out there. You're part of the process, much like the people in Mozilla themselves, in Mozilla.com are. We're all the same people in this. And I think it's very, very important to see that we have that many people worldwide that we don't use yet to the right degree. I spent more time in airports and airport lounges and airplanes and in taxis and in trains and automobiles on the way to airports than I care to remember last year. And it should not have to be that way, because as we saw yesterday, we've got people worldwide. So why do we send people there to impress people at conferences when I could coach you up, or we could coach you up to speak for us instead? Because it's much more scalable if you do it. So I'm part of developer engagement in Mozilla. These are just a few of us. We grew a bit more. And these are all experts and really engaging people and clever people that make technology easy to understand. And we translate technology for different markets and different people. And that's the most important skill to have as a speaker when it comes to technology. So I put Sheppy here twice because he had this wonderful R2-D2 Mickey Mouse hat as well. So our meetings can be interesting. So, I want you to go into the open and speak for Mozilla. It's time to break the anonymity, it's time to speak out, because you are there and you are Mozillians, and you should be on stage instead of me, because you know your market, you know the people there, and you have a chance to actually reach people that I don't. For example, I speak three languages, but I don't speak the 50 that we speak together. So if there is a meetup that doesn't need any English speaker, and it makes much more sense to speak in Latvian, Lithuanian, Kiswahili, or whatever you want to speak in, then it makes much more sense to send somebody like you. So we needed to go on stage and rock the show. And why? Well, why go where you already are? That's the first thing. Why send a few people when we have hundreds? And it doesn't scale to hire more people that are great speakers. It makes much more sense to empower you and to sponsor you and to tell you where cool things are happening that you should go to. And speaking can be dangerous. This is me, for example, in Amsterdam being attacked by a massive kitten. So you have to be aware of those things. So let's start with some homework. In April, I gave a talk at All Hands in Mozilla in Mountain View that was called The Road to Being a Kick-Ass Public Speaker. So the slides are on SlideShare, this is on my blog, the audio is there as well, and the notes are there. So you can go through that on your own time, in your own time, and find some information there. These slides are already on SlideShare as well. I'm doing an audio recording that will be on my blog later on. So everything I do is released, and everything I do, you can use for yourself. Please, please, please reuse these things, rather than having to write something yourself or not understanding what's going on. And I wrote a handbook in two afternoons to the chagrin of my ex-girlfriend, because she's like, she wrote a dissertation at that time. She said, what, you wrote 12,800 words in two afternoons? Yeah, it's called developerevangelism.com, and it explains you how to become a developer evangelist from being just a developer, or just a developer, being a kick-ass developer that works with Mozilla. And it does lots of tips how I actually write my stuff, how I prepare myself for talks, how I prepare myself for blogging, for these kind of things. All easy to understand. It's also on GitHub, so it's being translated into Portuguese and I think Cantonese at the moment. So it's cool to throw things out for free because people do good stuff for you. So what I analyzed instead of doing the like how to be a kick-ass speaker is what keeps interested people from public speaking. A lot of people tell me like, I love Mozilla, I love to do things here, but I'm not a speaker and I can't go on stage, and why? And I asked them why, and I got a few reasons, and I'm going to go through these reasons now with you and see how we can actually battle them. So, first of all, there's common myths about speaking. We've been conditioned as technical people for years and years for bad speakers in like corporate environments that are just boring ourselves to death, or like speakers that are just so impressive that we're like, oh, I can never be that person. So there's a few myths that float around, especially in bad companies, when it comes to being a speaker for them, and let's go through them. So my favorite was, everybody can give a talk, just send them a slide deck. You get these kind of things when you're a speaker for a long time. Then they're like, oh, next week there's a conference in Finland, you should probably go there. We have no idea what the audience is, but here's the slide deck from Jennifer last week, probably you can do that as well. So that is actually a thing that is not working. That's good. That is actually not true. Because it's the same message as like everybody can cook a five-star meal, just give them the right ingredients. So when you get a handover, a slide deck is not a handover. A handover is talking to the other speaker, getting the information why he chose a few messages like that, and getting like a tip sheet what to do and what to talk about. Not like, oh, just use that slide deck and you'll be fine. Nobody wants to hear from unknown speakers. It's another big thing that people tell me, like, yeah, it's great that you get invited to conferences, but if I send a paper in, they're never going to do it. And it makes me wonder where actually known speakers come from. You know, is it a known female speaker and a known male speaker who like each other very much and then they do make babies or something like that? It's not. It's like it's unknown speakers go on stage, are awesome, and become better speakers and become more known. The more you throw yourself out on the web, and that can start with Twitter, that can start with mailing lists, that can start with forums, the more people will know who you are. I got into speaking because at one conference that I paid a lot of money for, I asked every single speaker a really, really hard question, because I wanted to get my value for money. And on the way out, some guy came up to me and said, like, you really know your stuff. Why aren't you on stage? And I'm like, well, nobody asked me the terrible German accent, these kind of things. And then he asked, do you want to write a book? And I'm like, why not? So I wrote a book, and after I wrote the book, the speaking came in automatically as well. And I could never be stopped speaking, so that's the other problem. So speaking means you stop doing a real job. This is always this, like, passive-aggressive developer thing that people come up with. You know, I used to sing in a punk band. It was exactly the same thing there. You just like, as soon as you get your first gigs, as soon as you produce a CD, or in that case a vinyl, oh, those are sellouts now. We don't want to have to do anything for them with them anymore. And last week they were at your concert, like, fuck yeah, you should release something. And it's just this like, oh, you're only speaking now, you're not talking anymore. You're not in the corner being unknown, so that's not cool. And it's just like, you gotta get out there and say like, yeah, okay, fair enough. So why, in this case, it always fascinates me that the same developers that say like, you're not doing any development anymore, so why do they go to conferences and pay money to see somebody say the things that they obviously know as well? So own up or don't complain. So you should be on stage if you know it, rather than just complaining on Twitter that somebody who's paid for it doesn't do it right. Right. So then there's personal reasons and barriers, and these are the biggest ones actually. A lot of people are just not happy going up on stage and saying something to a big crowd. I used to work for a large corporation, and one of our founders, he was the most pathetic person on stage because he hated it. His whole body language screamed, please put me back in front of my computer. But as he was the CEO of the company, they kept sending him on stage. That's just not nice. You shouldn't do that. So what are the personal reasons that people have? I'm not a speaker, it's the first thing. Like, I don't know how to speak, I'm not engaging, I'm boring, I got a terrible accent, I'm from Germany, I speak English, that's wrong. I got nothing to say. Like, all the things I'm going to talk about, everybody has already. There's 10,000 blog posts about this. Others already covered that. Like, oh my god, I wanted to write about something in Firefox, but Google already blogged about this, I'm not going to do it anymore now. Why? I'm scared of doing it wrong. That's the biggest thing. People are just scared of public embarrassment. And it's like going on stage and doing something wrong is anathema to people. People are just scared of it. All the humor that is happening on English television right now is about public embarrassment. Like extras or like Ricky Gervais did. He's not a good humorist. He's not a good writer. He just does public embarrassment. Being a redhead, I was born with public embarrassment, so I didn't have that problem. So, I need training is the other one. I want to be a speaker, but I need training for this. We've got to spend money to know things. If you're a web developer, you know for a fact that spending money on training is totally pointless, because most of the things you learn are actually in your free time and these kind of things. And I'm not chance to speak. Nobody asked me. And nobody's going to come to you and say, like, you go on stage now. Well, I might, actually. So, if we go to a conference together, we'll see. So, let's start with the I'm not a speaker. A good speaker, to me, the definition of a good speaker, and it doesn't matter where it is, what method it is a person that is full passionate about a topic that they want to share. This is all you need to have. If you have that passion, if something annoys you, and you want to say something about it, then you are already on the way to become a speaker. It's also an excellent speaker, or a kick-ass speaker, is a person passionate about a topic and about sharing that passion. So you're not only like, I want to say something about this, but like, I'm annoyed about this, how about you help me fix this thing? Here's a few ideas how we can make this work. So passion is the first step. If you don't have passion for it, don't speak about it. I'm going to come back to that. A kick-ass speaker also is a mix of reporter, educator, and entertainer. You cannot just go on stage and say like, well, Brian Fox has these cool new features that you like, you should be going at, like, whatever. And it's not like, well, I heard that Google does something and Apple does something. You have to be a mix of the whole thing. You have to give the information, you have to give the technical knowledge, but you also have to be entertaining. If you're not funny, don't try to be. But at the same time, be dry. Just your code examples could have a joke in them, or a meme, or whatever. You know, it's like you don't have to do it yourself if your body language doesn't lay to that. Five things that make you a speaker, regardless of your performing talent. I've written that yesterday on the plane, and it's the thing that actually falls back to if you think about it. The first is know your stuff. Everything can go wrong on stage. My computer was happily unrooted for 45 days. 3 minutes ago, it completely crashed as soon as I connected this connector here. Happens all the time. Computers and videos and beamers and these kind of things hate you as a speaker. They will fall down on you. Everything will go wrong. So have the slides online, have them on a memory stick. Be prepared to not have a presentation at all. That's what you need to know. You need to be the expert in the thing. And then, this is a minor inconvenience. I said to myself, okay, if it's not going to work, I'm going to talk here for 45 minutes. I talk at 2 o'clock about browser ID. I didn't have the time to write the slides yet, so I probably will ad-lib it doing live in the browser later on. But that's because I have experience in it. But you should basically know your stuff. If you know your stuff, you're safe. You're totally safe. You're totally fine. And if you don't know something, then don't pretend. You know, a lot of people go on stage and want to talk about something cool, and they don't know what it is, and the audience, if there's one clever person in there, can dismantle you within a second. And it's a very, very interesting, natural thing. Like, in America, the audience will be always like, yeah, cool, dude, that was amazing. In Amsterdam, or in Sweden, there's one question from the audience, and that is the one thing you try to gloss over in your presentation. They have this honing thing going in and they try to hurt you. It's wonderful. I love these audiences. So it's like, yeah, cool. Give me something to stick into. Run the show. It is you on stage. Don't give someone else's talk. You are here. You run the stage. You are yourself. If you're a shy person and you don't want to go and do the waving thing, okay, you don't need to. You don't need to actually be somebody else. You are yourself because body language will give you away. No matter what you try to be awesome, there will be slight things where you're like, okay, I know what's going on there. And I'm training people. I can read body language really well. And it's amazing how many people are on stage. This is really cool. And you're like, okay, you don't know what you're talking about at this moment right now. And I had this in Amsterdam. Frontiers, one of my favorite conferences ever to go to. And I prepared so much for this talk because I love the conference. And I always gave great talks there. And I had this, I mixed it up with a movie called Prestige. And I listed all the cool actors in it. And halfway through my presentation, I completely blanked on the name of two of those actors. And I was there like, yeah, and it has this and this and this. What did I do? Like, and you know who that is? Because it was actually in disguise. And the audience like, yeah, it's that guy. See? Amazing how many people are in that movie. So I glossed over it. But it was just, I felt myself like, oh my God, this was so bad. But people in the audience didn't care. And they're like, oh, it's cool that I found out that it was that actor. So sometimes you can ask the audience to participate with you as well. So be proud of your style and do it your way. Don't pretend to be somebody else. Even if you think like Steve Jobs or somebody is awesome on stage, you don't have to be the same guy. Don't wear a black pullover and say like, and one more thing. And this was in Poland last year in November, which was an awesome conference because I met my girlfriend there. And this is a friend of mine called Anthony Ribot from Brighton, and he is half French, half Polish, so he thought he can drink with Polish people, which the night before. Which turned out to be not so, because that was him on stage 4 hours after his talk, because I took his speaking slot off him because he didn't show up. And this is what he actually looked like on stage. And we were on first row with a bottle of water and like, don't throw up, don't throw up, don't throw up. But at the same time, he gave a kick-ass talk. He was the expert. He knew what he was talking about. He basically pulled through, and that's admirable. You know, if you are there to say you're on stage, then you are on stage. Don't not show up, or don't say like, oh, I don't feel like it, I can't do this right now. You committed to it, you're on stage, no matter what happens. You have to finish this through because you're professional, because people paid money to see you, and the conference organizers trusted you to go on stage. And it was just hilarious. So be passionate. You want to be like a passion fruit, not like a dried prune. Because it's juicy and wonderful and tasty, and it's not like something that just goes through your body and takes the rest of it with it. And a lot of presentations are like these dry prunes, you know? They're like, instead of being passionate about a subject, they're like, I got a slide deck, and like, we have a new product, buy it, and that doesn't work for me. It gets easier the more you do it. My first talks were absolutely awful. I tried to be incredibly clever, and I tried to stick to my notes and all these kind of things, and they were terrible. And I'm my own worst judge. I'm recording this right now, and later on in the gym, I'm going to listen to it and cringe every 5 minutes when I said something that I shouldn't have said, or start a sentence with "so," and these kind of things, these little things that really annoy me. And you should do that as well, because you only get better by judging yourself, and because feedback is different. I'm going to come back to that. Yeah, listen to feedback and judge. It hurts. It's annoying to get feedback, or to ask for feedback, or to see yourself the first time on video. Or to hear yourself the first time. Because our voice always appears darker for ourselves because our head vibrates. So on a recording, you're always, yeah. You're like, that's not me, but it is you. And you should get used to it. So, hurt yourself. Like, be better next time. Immediate feedback, though, is polarized. So when you're on stage and you look at the Twitter feed after that, it's always like, this sucked, or, oh, that's the best thing ever, I'm now going to be a better person, go to Africa and save lives because he talked about HTML5. There's nothing in between. The real good feedback comes 2 weeks later, so that's something to be wary about as well. I got nothing to say. Nobody cares about what I do. Well, Mozilla has lots of stuff you can talk about. And you probably work on a lot of things that people don't know how to do. So there's lots and lots of stuff out there. There's lots of information out there that you could package up that nobody has packaged up the way you did. I put a topic grab bag together on the wiki, which is this very, very easy to remember URL down there. And that one gives you like all the technologies that are used in new Firefoxes and some of our technology initiatives like Browser ID and Ubuntu Gecko and web APIs. And in a like one sentence, how to explain them and where to get the information from. So you can mix and match a presentation on new technology with that really simply. And people do. And it's really, really powerful to just remind yourself how to explain something. And others have already covered that, is always the big thing. Like, yeah, Google has a blog post, why should we talk about it? Well, topics get reused over and over again. Actually, when you go to as many conferences as I do, it's painful to see how many amazing speakers give the same bloody talk at every conference. I couldn't do that. I would hurt myself. Or I would get very sarcastic about my own slides. And but people are like, yeah, I saw this talk before, but it was really, really inspiring again. So it's not that everybody expects too much. You can actually cover something that has been covered before if you give it a bit of a different angle. So they were never covered in your personal style and with your own experiences. You can tell a story around a subject that nobody else can. And if you package that story up nicely or with a local twist or something like that, it's totally fine to say something that somebody else had before. I'm scared of doing it wrong. Good. If you stop being scared, get off the stage. That's the worst thing. A complacent speaker that is happy about everything they do and start talking about blue sky bullshit that nobody needs should not be on stage. You should be scared going on stage every single time. And your body does it for you anyways. Like, it's like every time you go on stage, like, oh, I should have gone to the toilet, really? But no, it's okay now. Now I'm on stage, I don't care anymore. The best was Robert Nyman, who works with me. He's like, as soon as the microphone gets attached to you, your body makes strange noises. It's all in your head. It doesn't. But it's quite funny that these little fears are there. And these little fears make us what we are. These little fears are what we are on stage. Not like that we are, I'm the awesome speaker, and you listen to me, and you have no other choice. Yes, you do. You can go out. And mistakes happen. Learn from them. When something goes wrong on stage, immediately own up, yeah, that's fucked, let's go on. Not like, oh yeah, well, this can we fix this? No, it's done. You made a mistake, just say it, move on. That's the most important thing. Things crash around you. So look at other presentations and note down what annoys you. That's a really interesting little concept. Just look at other things and like, that was really awful. And then make sure that you don't do them. That's as simple as it is to a degree. like always, everybody always looks at like the good things that they want to do from other presentations, but it's also very important to see what other people do that you don't want to do. The same goes for finding things that you like. Do them, but don't do the like. And one more thing. Because you are not Steve Jobs, and you shouldn't copy other people's styles. I know wonderful female speakers. I'm not going to have a sex change just to copy them. And you cannot do that with like idioms and like ways of presenting either. For example, here's some presentation styles at the moment that make me cringe. And I see them over and over again. So that's the kind of things that I want to avoid ever. And I want you to think about as well. The teleshopping presentations, a.k.a. my pet techie. I've seen this at Google conferences, at PayPal conferences, at Microsoft conferences. There's an awesome, slick sales guy on stage, and they're like, yeah, we have this new technical product. So I get Steven in, who can show you what this product is like. So it's some poor engineer gets thrown on stage with that sales guy. It's like, which actually shows like he has no idea about what the product is about, so he gets some expert in to push buttons for him. And the best thing is like, so, James, do you think our new product can do this? And you're like, yeah, of course it's not going to work, right? Because they're on stage in front of 700 people. He's like, no, actually, our product is real shit and it doesn't do that. That's not going to happen, you know? It's so predictable what's going on there. It's just painful to watch. And it's just, it also gives, doesn't give credit to the technical person, because it's like, hey, I'm the guy that sells this, and we got these pixies down in the basement that do the code. He's one of them. Don't look at him too harsh. No flash photography. He's going to bite you. It's just like, painful. Live coding like a boss is another big thing. Like, I got slides? Nah, let's go to the command line and show you green text for 45 minutes, and I'm going to be the god in front of you, and you all want to be the coder like me. The problem with live coding is it's very impressive, it's very cool. Like, oh, look, I can. How many times have you seen the Node.js Hello World example? How many times did the client ask you for a Hello World example? So it shows you what the developer can do, but it doesn't mean that you can retain anything of that. Live coding is there for workshops when people code with you, not for stage shows where you're like, oh, well, I can do this, and you can't. Haha. Look how amazing I am, and you go back to your job and you'd be frustrated. Ha! And you pay for seeing me, thanks. So, not my stuff. A day in the movies. People having movies, videos in their presentations. Bad, bad plan. Good plan if you start with it or you end with it. Halfway through, you're on stage, you're the person of attention. People should look at you, listen to you, not your slides. So if you stand there and the video is playing in the background, like, awesome. You take the attention away, and the people have to refocus on you after the video as well. So, and it never works. The audio is always terrible. The screen will probably not show properly. So make sure that if you do movies, you do screencasts, and you talk over them. You explain to people, like, okay, this is what we do here. Because live doing tools with flaky wireless is sometimes really, really bad. So a screencast will always work, and you can explain over them what you're doing at the time. Why you don't have to type, because that's another thing for you to get distracted as a speaker. Numbers, graphs, and bullet points only give us data. I've been at an HTML5 event, and they had like cool 2011 technology with proper 1983 slides. Now all of them like the bullet points of hell, like five levels deep, sentences this long, and you're like, okay, can we just get the deck, because we don't need you. You can just read the deck out for you and we're done. Others like, so inspiring, like really, really inspiring. Like, what if the internet were spherical? What if you could taste HTML5? You know, it's like these like presentations where you're like, okay, you wrote this half a year ago because you were asked to write. You have no clue what's going on the internet right now, but it's so inspiring. I wish I were inspiring like that. Whatever. Reading time with you, me and my slide deck. And as we see here, the figures of last week were 15,622, 27,000. Do you get all this? You know, it's like people noting away while you're reading out your slides to them. Your slides will break. Don't rely on them. Next thing that people ask me is, I will need training. Now, training can be given, but actually I can predict that all you need is experience. Jump in there, do it. Be the speaker on stage. Do horrible mistakes. Not like sexist jokes or anything like that, but just like make mistakes as a speaker and learn from them and do them better next time. Everybody in the audience is as scared as you of going on stage, so they will be on your side if you make a mistake and say, okay, I'm not going to do that again. So it's all fine. That said, I'd love us to have workshops to take this further, and I'd love to for you to demand, say like, hey, we want to have better training, we want to do more of these things. I have no chance to speak. Nobody asks me. I'm just in my corner. There's meetups, unconferences, lightning talks rounds, meet and greets happening all the time, all over the globe. You can go to these things and just listen in or then later propose something. If you want to do a Mozilla meetup, please talk to us. We can actually sponsor something. We can put some money behind the bar, but you talk about Mozilla stuff there. It's totally fine to ask for that. And you can actually break that. If your area doesn't have any meetups yet, please start them. We need them worldwide. I live in London, there's something happening every day. It's really getting boring. I'd rather go outside and have people talk about things that you don't hear in London. So there's an NER.com, which is a website just about events, meetup.com, facebook.com, and any other. Just look around, do a search on web technologies and see what meetings are happening and go there and propose a talk and these kind of things. Find something and then tell us you want to go. Tell us, please, that you're going there, because I would love to know. I mean, I hate going to conferences where I flew over there for 6 hours, haven't slept for 3 days, look like shit. And then there's 5 people from Mozilla there already, and I'm like, why didn't you give the talk then? You're awesome, you can do that as well. Well, they wanted you. And I'm like, well, next time I know you're here, I'm going to propose you instead. It makes much more sense. I have no chance to speak. There's Where's Mozilla? Where's Mozilla is showing you where we are going to be at what time speaking. And you have a few links in there as well, like up there, that tells us, like, if you have a conference organizer friend that wants to have a Mozilla speaker, they can send a form in that they want to have somebody. Or if you want to go, there's a link as well. It goes to a form where we ask you how many people are going to be there, what you want to talk about, what kind of help you need. And then you become the speaker for Mozilla instead of having the strange red-headed guy having to travel. So tell us where you think we should be and how we can support the event. Because that's I scrounge the internet of all these things all the time, but it just doesn't scale. If you know where something's happening, then fair enough, we can do that. So talk to us. There's hacks.mozilla.org, is our blog. If you want to blog, please come. Blog. Write for us. We can help you with the writing style as well, or with editing a bit if you wanted to. Developermozilla.org is the main website of our department. Deborah and IRC were hanging out, and people on Twitter with Archer in this case, European time zones normally, or wherever we are at that moment. And that's all I had, so please go out there and talk, and thank you very much.